Do you ever ask yourself, is the life that you're currently living a true expression of your potential, your biggest dreams, your talents, or are you settling? And are you truly happy and fulfilled, or are you just going through the motions and maybe even playing someone else's game of life, living up to other people's definition of success? And do you feel alive, like you're really enjoying, you have that experience, maybe not every day, but most days of, wow, I'm really in the zone with my life. I feel like I'm living with purpose. I feel like I'm living with intention. Or are you drifting through the motions? Maybe living as a spectator on social media, watching football games, watching shows. There's nothing wrong with watching a few shows, nothing wrong with watching a few games, nothing wrong with being on social media, but is it consuming most of your time? Are you living vicariously through others? Are you watching other people live out their dreams while you just make nasty comments on Facebook and Twitter? Just kind of kidding there. Half kidding. I want to welcome you back to the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Rice, health expert and coach to entrepreneurs, executives, and other high-performing professionals. What we do on this show is we break down science-based information on how to lose fat, prevent disease, and live a longer, healthier, legendary life. But on Fridays, especially this Friday, this Christmas Friday, we're going to get real. We're going to talk about how you've been doing this year, how you've been doing in the past years, and maybe realized some things about the way you've been living your life this year, like so many of us. We're going to be talking about where to go from there, how to take things to the next level. So if that's what you're interested in, stay tuned. And before we jump into today's podcast, I want to say, have you heard my coaching clients lose 2 to 4 pounds in the first week of being in my coaching program, my body transformation coaching program? If you've been listening for a while, you probably heard that, and I bet you found it hard to believe. But how would you like to try it out for yourself for free? That's what I'm offering for a limited amount of time. Here's how it works. Doesn't cost you any money, but it does cost you a few minutes of your time, because the first thing you need to do is give us a review on iTunes. The second thing you need to do is take a screenshot of your review and email it to info@legendarylifepodcast.com. After we receive your email, my team will send you our Jumpstart Nutrition Protocol, which you can follow for 7 days. And again, my clients lose up to 2 to 4 pounds, sometimes even 5 pounds, although that is rare, but it can be done depending on how much weight you have to lose. This stuff works, folks, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm giving it away in exchange for an iTunes review. But if you're interested, you need to take action, because I'm going to take this down soon. I'm going to get back into business. I'm going to launch my coaching program. I'm going full steam ahead for 2021. So if you're interested in getting a jump start on it, and after the holidays, after Christmas, then do that now. And yes, if you've given us a review in the past, send us a screenshot and we'll send you the Jumpstart Protocol. I got your back. For more info, go to legendarylifepodcast.com/review, where we show you how to leave a review if you're kind of struggling with that on iTunes and what else to do. So let's get into it today. I want to talk about the voice within us that's often the quiet voice within us telling us, hey, you could be more, you could do more, you could experience more, you could live life on a new level, on a different level. This experience of life that you're having right now, it could be unimaginably better for you. Unimaginable, not for everyone, but for where you're currently at. And I don't know about you, but I used to silence that voice. I used to chase goals that didn't align with my heart, my soul. And I found myself in places where, although on paper my life was good, I was stuck in a rut. I was unhappy. And that unhappiness ended up leading to unhealthiness. And so many people just want the dietary fix, the exercise fix to their weight problems, when in reality, a lot of people are eating because they're not happy. They're not happy with their job, so they eat. They are not happy with their relationship. It's like, well, I don't have much sex anymore, but at least I can have that slice of pie or maybe two or three. Too many people are just stuck in a rut, and it can last for years or perhaps even decades. I know because I've been there. And some of you have a similar story like I do. For example, when I first became a personal trainer when I was 22 years old, for me, it was a dream job at that time. My brother had been murdered when I was 19. I dropped out of school. I had no education. All my plans had crumbled through my fingers, and I had no hope. But after a few years of struggling, I managed to find myself just 3 years later with an incredible opportunity. And I ended up as a personal trainer in the Eden Rock Resort and Spa in Miami Beach. It's not a hot place anymore, folks. But during the time when I was there, it was the hot place to be. There was no Equinox. That was the gym to be at, the place to work out, the place to see and be seen. It's where I met Ricky Martin. His manager hired me from the Eden Rock. It's where I met a bunch of celebrities. It's where I met a bunch of other clients who introduced me to people like Robert Downey Jr., my connection to Richard Branson I met from there. And I was living the dream. Another funny thing was I was 22 years old. And after a few years in the game of personal training, I was sure I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. I used to tell myself that. I'm like, I'm around millionaires. I'm working with celebrities. I'm in shape. I'm hot. People want to work with me. Everything is going my way. There's no way this is not going to work out for me. And I studied hard. I wasn't just messing around. I studied hard. I spent a lot of money on continuing education, learning from the best in the biz. In other words, I traveled around to seminars, paid to learn from people, paid for mentors, not business mentors, mind you, but mentors in health and fitness. I thought there was just no way it was going to go wrong. There was no way it wasn't going to work. But eventually I found myself towards the end of my 30s, not anywhere near being a millionaire. In fact, I was struggling to pay my rent. I was making my monthly bills. So I guess not struggling to pay my rent, although I did go through times in my 20s struggling to pay my rent. But I ended up in a situation where I was like, how did this happen to me? I thought everything was going my way. And a lot of it had to do with, like, I needed help. I was stuck in a rut and I needed help out. I didn't know who to turn to. There weren't podcasts at the time. What I needed was a business mentor, but there were people who were mentoring business at that time, but I wasn't hearing it. I wasn't about that. I was like, no, I just need to get better at my craft. And eventually I came up with the bright idea of going back to school and becoming a medical doctor, because I felt like if I went back to school and became a medical doctor, I would really get the respect and professional success that I felt I deserved. Not because I was special or entitled or anything like that, but I worked my ass off. And it was just hard for me to understand that hard work, a lesson that I ended up learning, is hard work isn't enough. Digging ditches for 8 hours a day is hard work. Or here I am in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. There's construction everywhere here. It is the fastest growing city in Mexico, I believe. And there are condos going up, luxury condos going up. And these construction workers work all day long, 6 days a week. They work hard, but they ain't making money, unfortunately. I'm laughing, but it ain't funny, right? These guys don't do well, but they work their asses off. And I feel like, man, if they only had a better education, if they only had some mentorship, they'd know that it's cool to do what they're doing. And of course, I don't know their situation. Maybe they have to do that. Maybe their families are struggling, especially now with COVID, and they took this job and they stay at the construction work site instead of their home so they could, you know, sleep, eat, work, sleep, eat, work. But I'm just saying, just from my perspective, like, I respect those people so much, but also it hurts to see, because I know that type of hard work, it's like, it's not going to end up, and not even saying that that's their goal, by the way. I'm just saying hard work doesn't lead to success necessarily. Now I want to fast forward a little bit. At the beginning of 2018, February 12th, to be exact, I moved to Thailand. Up until, and it's, I've been living mostly outside the United States ever since, until my dad got sick earlier this year. But I want to talk about this shift that's happened in these 3 years of living outside the country, almost 3 years of living outside the country, and not just living outside the country, but living my dream. I've been living my dream, and I never thought it was possible. And I look back at who I was just 3 years ago, before that day that I moved to Thailand, February 12th, 2018. I was fat. I was stressed. I wasn't sleeping well. I was unhappy. My sex drive was low. I wasn't making all my money. I was making money, but I was so, I was a lot of it. I paid, I don't know if you knew this, but I pay every month for this podcast. And it was $1,000 a month for me on top of all the other expenses that I had, which was, I wasn't making enough because I was working part-time as a personal trainer. And then I was working on the podcast the rest of the time, but I wasn't getting paid by the podcast. I was like paying to work, but I knew it was what I truly wanted. I knew I wanted to be online. I wanted location freedom. I wanted to be able to work from my laptop and be somewhere else because I hardly took a vacation for 20 years. You got 1 week off. I did not. I got a couple days off here and there because, you know, it was my situation. I signed up for it. But when you're a personal trainer, your clients want to train on the holidays. They don't want you to leave because of the babysitting factor. For those of you who have trainers, don't treat your trainer like this. Stop needing a babysitter. Grow the hell up. Let them go on vacation and start taking some responsibility. But I felt like I couldn't go on vacation. My clients started to kick and scream and whine. Now, granted, I work with some wealthy people, guys worth $100 million, $50 million, Ferrari collections. Took a ride in a Ferrari, one of my clients' Ferraris that was worth $8 million. That gives you an idea of the type of people I was working with. They go on vacation for 3 months at a time. They would not pay me a retainer, and I would just be eating bat guano, bull droppings during that time, not able to, you know, having to figure it out. I couldn't stand the situation I was in. But everything changed. And it only changed because I took the risk. Now, I'm not saying that you should move to Thailand or somewhere else, especially now Thailand isn't open and won't be open until next year. But I want you to ask yourself, what is it that you truly want? What did you learn from this year, from the trials, the tribulations, the ups, the downs, mostly downs for so many people? What did you learn about what you truly want this, what you truly want in life? What do you truly want? What did you learn about it? And the next question I want you to ask yourself, what does success, fulfillment, and happiness look like for you? What do those words really mean to you? My dad told me before he died, he took care of me, meaning he's, you know, he left me his estate. He left me some things, made my life, at least financially, a bit easier. And one of the things that he told me is, Ted, I want you to live a rich life. I want you to live the life that I couldn't live. I want you to live a rich life. Now, I want to tell you something. A rich life for my dad meant eating foie gras, drinking fine wine, drinking fine scotch, you know, the typical sort of opulent luxury lifestyle, owning an expensive car, owning a big house, luxury in the traditional sense. And if I were to live that way, I would be miserable because it's not my definition of success, of happiness, of fulfillment. That was his. My definition of success, now I want a car, but to be honest, I don't like spending money on cars. I have enough money to pay for a very nice car in cash, but guess what? I don't even want a car right now. Now, again, I'm not telling you to compare your life to mine because you might be in a situation where you need a car. You've got to take your kids to soccer practice whenever that comes back, right? Whenever life gets back to where we're driving around and things, you may need it. That's fine. But for me, I don't want a car. I don't want to spend money on a car. I don't want to have a house. One of my clients, actually the same guy with the $8 million Ferrari, he's like, Ted, you really have to invest. You got to buy. You've got to buy a place. You know, you put money down and you make payments and then you end up owning the place. And that's how you can grow yourself, grow your worth, your net worth. Here's a guy who's worth, you know, many, many, many millions of dollars. And he's telling my broke ass how I should spend the money that I'm struggling to make every month. So that was not success for me. That wasn't happiness for me. That wasn't fulfillment. I wasn't interested in owning a place. Actually, now I am, but it will be probably another 6 months, a year, who knows, maybe 2 years before I do that. And so I want to share with you a little bit about what the rich life, you know, my dad said, I want you to live a rich life. So I'm doing it now. You know what I've been doing? I swam with dolphins the other day. Never been able to, now I could have afforded it, but I just was like, oh, I can't spend the money. That's where I was living at, right? That's the type of mindset I was living in. Can't spend the money. I wanted to get my diving certification, but can never spend the money. Even though I could have spent the money, but I just, you know, it didn't make sense. Didn't make sense on paper. I ran cost-benefit analyses. But now I just got my advanced certification. I've been diving with bull sharks. I dove my first shipwreck. I've done all types of dives now. Dove several reefs. Dove Cozumel Reef. I'm so happy I spent the money in that. It's changed me as a person. It's made me grow as a person. That's an example of living my rich life. And I want to ask you, what does success look like for you? Are you playing a game and trying to make money so that you can afford a better car, so that your neighbors who really don't care about what car you're driving, only in that weird way, like they only care because they kind of judge themselves based on what you're doing, right? People that you're like, hey, well, I got this car. Oh yeah, well, I just got that. You know, like that bullshit game that so many people play, the keeping up with the Joneses game. I don't need to say anything more about it because I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is that really success for you? Is that really happiness for you? Is that fulfilled? Is that fulfillment for you? And if it isn't, what is? Or more importantly, is the way you've been living, is that living up to your definition of success? Do you feel fulfilled? And the happiness, we never shoot for happiness. Happiness is a result of living true to yourself, staying in the moment, being absorbed in your life so fully that you're not thinking about the future or the past. You're being present in the moment. Do you have that? And the last question that I want you to ask yourself is, who do you want to become? And what type of life do you want to live? You know, there's a talk in our society, in American society. I can't speak for other. I know we have a lot of listeners from other countries, but in American society, there's talk about the system and how it works against you. And it may even be racist, and it may even be sexist, and it may even be classist. And I'll tell you something. You know what I've learned? Those things, there's elements of truth to those things. Right? There's a racism problem in America. It's going to open up that can of worms, but we can all agree on that, can't we? But here's what I'll tell you. From living outside of the country for years, I've been in Southeast Asia. I lived in Bali. I lived in Thailand. I lived a shorter amount of time in Vietnam. I visited Malaysia. I visited Hong Kong. I visited Cambodia. I lived in Colombia. I lived in Mexico for a few months. You know what? What I can tell you about society, it's always set up against you. I don't care where you are in the world. Now, we might make an exception for those Scandinavian countries, but there's like five of them or whatever. And there's hundreds or at least over 100 countries in the world. Most places are set up against you. Most places have systems that are set up against everyone, regardless or almost everyone, regardless of your skin color, your socioeconomic status, your education level. And I'll tell you, America is one of those places where you truly do have a lot of upward mobility, and you can get the mind. I mean, it's in our mindset, not of everyone. And what I'm getting at is it's set up against you. It's always set up against you. It just seems that's the way we make societies. That's how human beings make societies in general. It's always set up against you. And you know what? That's okay, especially in America. Again, in Cambodia, it's not the Democratic, you know, Republic of Cambodia. It's the Kingdom of Cambodia. It's the Kingdom of Thailand. We're talking dictatorships. We're talking places with kings still. And as much as I love those countries, it's hard to see the situations there. But if you're in the United States, if you're in Canada, if you're in the UK, if you're in Australia, I can't speak to Europe, but I know the places that I mentioned, you have an ability, an opportunity to really step up. And yes, things may be against you, but God, suck it up and do the work. Anything that requires greatness is going to take some work. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to be hard. It's kind of like getting in shape. It's kind of like getting your financial situation together. It's kind of like making sure that your relationship is working, is a good relationship. It's a stable relationship. It all takes work. It's an uphill battle some of the time, if not most. And I want to ask you, forget all these excuses, forget all the, you know, like, oh, let's measure our privileges. Oh, I have this skin color, so I'm, you know, this much privileged. Oh, I don't have this education. I didn't go to this university, so I have that. I don't have that privilege. Like, what can you do with what you have? And in the United States, it's a lot. I'm kind of tired of people focusing on the things that are up against them, and it's not because I'm not sensitive to it. Listen, you know how many people gave a shit about me after what I've been through? Let me tell you something. Thoughts and prayers don't pay the bills. I struggled. I was broke. I've been on food stamps because my girlfriend at the time was Cuban, half Cuban. She could get them in Miami. I couldn't because I'm a white dude. Okay. But I was broke all the same. You know, we focus on the things that are working against us. Man. I don't know. What I want to tell you is I should not be successful. Think about my life. Think about I was abused as a child by, you know, a mentally ill mother. Then she dies when I was 14. My brother was kidnapped and murdered at 19. My stepmother dies of a heart attack. Later on, my sister commits suicide. I should not be successful. I should not be happy, but yet I am. And what I'm trying to say is, don't focus on what's standing in your way or what you don't want. Focus on what you do want. And I want to ask you again, what kind of person do you want to become? What kind of life do you want to live? Another thing that I'll share with you is one of the biggest lessons that I took away from watching my dad die and watching that downward trajectory that happened over months. It's like, whoa, I'm really going to die. All the other people who died in my life, they just disappeared. They were there and then they weren't. And while that's hard in some ways, watching my dad die the way he died, and he had a good run, you know, 76, but it really made me face my own mortality this year. It's like, you're single, you don't have kids. What are you really living for here? Is it just to have fun and go diving and swim with porpoises or dolphins? I think they're different, but I couldn't tell you. Anyway, and I'm not going to Google it right now, but I think they're different. Anyway, so it's like, what are you really living for? And I think the things that I mentioned are important. Doing things that really bring you into the moment, because I was lost for a little bit. You know, you think I didn't struggle? I shared with you. You think I didn't struggle? Oh, my dad's gone. He's the last person in my family. He's gone. You know, you can really go down the drain with that type of thinking. You can really get sucked in a downward spiral with that type of thinking. And so what I've been doing is I've immersed myself in breath work and dive in scuba diving. And I've been doing Thai boxing. I've been getting out and being around people, socializing. I'm in Mexico right now, but by the time you hear this, I'm going to be visiting Giselle's family in Brazil. I'll be with Giselle and her family. I'll be in a, surrounded by people who I know, I love, I care about, even though Giselle and I aren't together. And it made me come, and the point that I'm getting at is we only have one life. And so often we act like it's just going to keep going. And I saw that point where my dad finally had to face the last week of his life. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't the pretty the way he went out. And not that death or dying should be pretty. But what I mean is there was a lot of regrets that came up and it freaked me out. I was like, whoa, I do not want to feel that way on my deathbed. I want to be surrounded by people who love me. I don't want to go out like that. And wow, I feel so, if you've had a family member die this year, I'm lucky I was in Florida. A lot of people hate the situation in Florida because of the governor, but I'm super grateful that I got to spend time with my father. I couldn't imagine the weirdness it would have left had I not had the ability to go and see him and have those talks with him. And I know a lot of people went through that. In fact, one of my clients just had a death in her family. Shout out to you, Larkin, if you're listening. And she had a death in her family. She couldn't go and see them because they were in Canada, and Canada in that area is locked down. You might be going through that or have went through that. And you know what? I really feel for you. But the lesson you would have learned if you would have been able to see them go through what they went through and to degenerate is that you come face to face with your own mortality. There is only one shot. There is only one life. What are you doing about it? For me, I want to get busy living. I want to get busy. One of the things I'm so excited to help more people. Super excited. I'm going to take this podcast and my whole entire business to the next level. I've got people who I'm going to hire to do it. We're going to spread. We're going to get the Legendary Life podcast. We're going to get it out there more. And in the hopes that it makes more of a difference, we need more leaders than ever to stand up. And I'm an unlikely leader. But so many of us, the ones that I don't crave power, in other words, I don't crave, I like recognition. I like doing speaking. I like getting up on a stage and talking in front of people. I like performing. I was a musician, but I don't crave the power. I don't crave the power over people. It's not what does it for me. I really like to help. I really like to make a difference. It makes me feel good when other people are feeling good. I feel like I'm helping to combat the chaos, the entropy in our world. And I feel that like there's a lot of it. Actually, I think there's more in the past, but we're more aware than ever because of social media. It is in our faces. When something messed up happens, we don't read about it on the Monday morning paper. It's in our faces on Twitter, sometimes seconds after it happened, going viral. That's the world we live in today. And I feel like there's a total lack of leadership all the way up to at the highest levels. And I think for me, I'll finish on this note unless something else comes up. But one of the things that this election has showed me is that there is no one coming to save us. I remember reading something after it was determined that Joe Biden won the presidency. Someone was saying, oh, now Joe has to work for us. And I'm like, what are you even talking about, man? It's like the presidents I've lived through, you know, Reagan, and then who came after that? George Bush, and then Clinton, and then who came after that? Another George Bush, and then Obama, and then now we're on, then Trump. And then, look, we need to lead ourselves. We need to step up and lead. We need to stop spectating. Oh my gosh, social media and everybody's opinion. We need to stop doing that and arguing and offering up our opinions that just falls on deaf ears or falls into the same, what do you call it? Echo chamber where everybody just like, yeah, you really know what you're talking about. Yeah. You ain't doing jack. What are you doing? Who have you helped? Have you helped yourself? What have you done? Oh, I hit the gym and I go to work. Okay, great. Take it up a notch. Raise your standards. You know, it's time for us to rise up, and we don't need to become political or become politicians, but we need to take more responsibility. Stop spectating. Start stepping up. It is one life that you have to live, and then it's over. And that's a hard end to come to if you're at the end just full of regrets. So don't do that. Try not to. And I know this for me, by the way, when I talk about this, it always comes back to, yeah, okay, but how do I do it? I'm struggling trying to change my behavior. And we are going to dive into that in 2021 big time. I've been learning a lot about it, reading the research, actual research, not what people usually mean when they say, do your research. I read three articles on Natural News about the vaccines and two YouTube videos that were 20 minutes long. Do your research. No, I read actual research about this stuff, but I'm not ready to teach it yet because I feel I don't fully understand it yet. But oh, do I have some things in store from you? I'm studying daily this stuff. I am putting it into action. I'm living it. And we are going to focus on how do we change what we feel is unchangeable. I saw my dad go to his grave, and at the end, he started realizing, whoa, I could have done things different. If I felt then how I feel now, if I knew it was going to be like this, I would have done things differently. And I want to save you from a fate, from that fate, if I can do my part. No one can save you except yourself, but if I can at least help shine the light to give you some awareness and perhaps some strategies, some actions moving forward, well, I'd say that's a job well done. So listen, Merry Christmas, my friends. I hope you have an incredible time with your family, even if it's social distanced, even if you're by yourself. I hope you get whatever you need to get out of it. Even if it isn't ideal, look for the lesson. Even if you aren't able to spend it with your family like you wanted to, it will happen next year. But what are you getting from this time alone? That's what I want you to ask, okay? That's what I want you to focus on. So here's to an incredible 2021. Of course, I'll be doing an episode on January 1st for you. But here's to an incredible 2021. Here's to learning from all the lessons that we got from this incredible year. And here's to taking humanity a leap forward, taking ourselves a leap forward, taking our families a leap forward. And maybe even if enough of us get on this train, get on this movement, maybe even the world. So again, Merry Christmas to you. Happy Hanukkah. I love you. We're going to take things to the next level, you and me, for 2021. And I will speak to you soon.